And he's here basically to leave his body, although it's been taking longer than expected. Very nice devotee. So the same thing happened with Jana Sharma, this Brahmin. His life changed. He became detached. He lost interest in worshipping Kamakya Devi and gaining material things, which previously was the focal point in his life. After all, he moved from Mathura to Assam, and by foot, that must be a long walk. So in other words, he was very interested in material gain, but he gave up that altogether. And he just found himself inspired that what is the goal of life? What is it all about? Now, he didn't know that this change in attitude and change of perspective on life was happening simply because of his chanting of the mantra. He didn't understand it. And he didn't understand that, in a sense, all I have to do is just keep on chanting and the change will continue, and eventually the change will come to some sort of conclusive point simply by chanting the mantra. But he thought, let me go, let me leave here and find out what is the goal of life. So it was all coming from his chanting of the mantra. But he didn't understand it, couldn't understand it yet. So it was having an effect on him, despite his lack of knowledge and even his lack of faith. I mean, he had some faith, maybe. At least he had faith in Durga, therefore he was doing it. He was doing it because he thought, Durga wants me to do it. But it was not exactly that he had faith in it yet. He comes to that point. But so far, he does not have faith in it, in the chanting of the mantra. And he certainly doesn't understand it at all. Yeah. So off he went. And he ended up at Ganga Sagar. We've noted that there on the board. And he met some householder Brahmins, and they were big experts in Karmakandya. And they were involved in so many rituals. The whole idea was how to go to Swarga, how to become materially elevated to the heavenly planets. And they were very pakka, very expert and very dedicated. From morning to night, they had no other program than all their mantras and tantras and smritis and yajnas and whatnot. All these things. So impressed by their dedication, he thought, maybe this is the goal of life. This is what I'm looking for. So he took up that practice. But because he was so impressed by Durga, he continued chanting his mantra. After a little while, he lost interest. He spontaneously lost interest. Because of the mantra. The mantra purified his heart, so he lost interest. And he became dissatisfied with that program, so he gave it up. Next he went to Kashi. There he met some impersonalist sannyasis. And Kashi, of course, that is the place of the impersonalists. They were all interested in impersonal liberation, very philosophical, very knowledgeable, and they talked about liberation as if it was just readily available, that they had it in their hands, and they could just give it to him. And it wasn't a big thing. So he thought, this may be the goal of life. And he started considering becoming an impersonalist sannyasi himself. Although, out of respect for Durga, he continued chanting his mantra. One night, the deity of the mantra, Madan Gopal, appeared in his dream. So when he saw the deity, when he saw Madan Gopal, now he didn't really know who this is other than being the deity of the mantra, but the deity of the mantra was so beautiful that finally he became captivated by the mantra and he started to appreciate the mantra and focus more on the mantra. And eventually he stopped doing anything other than chanting this Madan Gopal mantra. Then Lord Shiva and Kamakya Devi appeared in a dream. The same Kamakya Devi, but in order to give extra sort of impetus, her husband Lord Shiva came along too. And he preached to the Brahmin, Jana Sharma, leave here, go to Mathura, go to Vrindavan. So off he went. Off he went, chanting and chanting and chanting this mantra. However, along the way, he stopped in Prayag. There he found some devotees. They were Vaishnavs. By Vaishnavs, I mean they worshipped Lord Vishnu and his avatars. Yeah. So they had a whole array of deities. Lord Nrisingadev, Lord Ram, Lord Kurma, Varaha, Matsya, and so many different forms of the Lord. And he saw one. There was one deity called Gopal. And he thought, this looks very similar to the deity of my mantra, Madan Gopal. And he was wondering, is it the same person? But then the devotees there told him that all these different forms, they're forms of one person. So he was looking and then he thought, it can't be my deity. Can't be, because my deity doesn't have a form like all these different forms. So he became a little confused. But he stayed there and became somewhat purified in their association. There was one deity called Madhava. One deity called Madhava, who looked similar, except he had four hands. So eventually, Jana Sharma, the Brahmin, concluded, no. My Lord, the deity of my mantra, is not this Madhava. First of all, he doesn't have all these other forms. And secondly, he doesn't have four arms. My Madan Gopal has two arms. So he concluded he should just continue chanting his mantra. So now, if you see what has happened to him so far, he's gone from Karmakandiya through impersonal liberation, now through the worship of Lord Vishnu and his avatars, and gradually he is becoming attracted and impelled towards the worship of Krishna in Vrindavan. So one night, he was chanting his, or one day in fact, he was chanting his mantra, he fell into a trance. When he came out, he realized it was very late. And it seems he was chanting like a set number of mantras because he got into anxiety. It's too late to finish my chanting for today. So he fell asleep. And then Madhava appeared in his dream. Lord Madhava, that special one, although four-armed, still he was the special one amongst all those Vishnu deities who had some resemblance to his deity. So Lord Madhava appeared in his dream and told him, you must follow the instruction you got from Lord Shiva and go to Vrindavan immediately. Why are you waiting here? So off he went to Vrindavan. Now, when he was moving around in Vrindavan, he noticed very interesting things. Well, while he had been chanting his mantra, certain visions had been coming to his mind of cows and certain types of scenery and rivers of a certain type. When he got to Vrindavan, he noticed, this is like what I see when I am chanting my mantra. So he felt happy that I'm making progress. I'm making progress here. So he carried on chanting his mantra, chanting and chanting, till he came to Keshigat, just nearby. He came to Keshigat. Then near Keshigat, he heard someone crying in the very dense forest. So he forced his way through the forest. As he was coming closer to this person crying, he heard they were chanting the names of the Supreme Lord. Then he saw one cowherd boy. And you know what he thought? He thought, this is the deity of my mantra. I have found him. So he threw himself at the feet of the cowherd boy. So this is Gopakumar. Gopakumar is a liberated soul, an inhabitant of Goloka Vrindavan, who is at that time in Gokula Vrindavan, here on this planet. What had happened was that morning, Srimati Radharani told him, go to Keshigat and I have some special service for you to do there. Sanatan Goswami explains this. So when the cowherd boy, this liberated soul and direct personal associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, saw this Brahman at his feet, he understood he has been sent by Srimati Radharani, and this is why I was sent here. This is my mission, to help this person. Because he was, you know, so elevated and practically omniscient in a certain sense, he immediately understood the whole story of Janasharma. He immediately understood he is chanting the same mantra as me. Oh, we didn't mention that, did we? That prior to this cowherd boy becoming that liberated inhabitant of Goloka Vrindavan, he also went through a whole process of advancement And what was it based on? Chanting the 10-syllable Madan Gopal mantra. So this Brahmin appealed to the cowherd boy, Gopakumar. As we mentioned before, Gopakumar means cowherd boy. So, this Brahmin, Janasharma, he appealed to Gopakumar that different people have told me different aims of life and different methods for approaching them, but still I don't know what to do. And all I do is what the goddess told me to do. But he says, even these duties, I have no idea what the result will be. And I don't even know what I'm doing, actually. I do it, but I don't know what it is. So we can just see, the point is made. Even though he has made tremendous advancements so far, but there's a lack of knowledge, a tremendous lack of knowledge, but still he's managed to make advancement. So Gopakumar considered what to do. He could see that this Brahmin has already become quite advanced in his own way. You know, sometimes it's like that. There's the story in Chaitanya Charitamrita of that one fisherman who caught Lord Chaitanya in his net, and he touched Lord Chaitanya and became immediately overwhelmed by symptoms of bhava, but he didn't know what had happened. He thought he'd been possessed by a ghost. So he went running down the beach to try to find an exorcist, and he met Swarup Damodar, who was coming looking for the Lord with some other devotees. Swarup Damodar could immediately tell he has symptoms of bhava, but he is a fisherman. So, you know, you wouldn't expect him to have symptoms of bhava. So he must have found the Lord. And that fisherman said that, I found a ghost. I'm looking for an exorcist. Swarup Damodar said, it's your lucky day. I happen to be a famous exorcist. So actually, I don't recall hearing much more about what happened to the fisherman. But at least the point is there that some people may make advancement, real advancement, but in a state of ignorance. So this is what happened to this Brahmin. And Gopakumar could tell that this is what had happened. He was actually quite advanced, although he was in a state of utter ignorance, total ignorance about what he was doing, what was the result of what he was doing, and what was the goal of life, although he was looking for the goal of life because he was doing that chanting. So, just see the potency. This is one of the main points which is going to come out in this whole narration. Because as we said, Gopakumar has already been through a similar type of experience. Very similar type of experience. Also in ignorance. So the point, the Brahmin was given the mantra by Durga. Gopakumar is going to be given the mantra by a devotee. Well, Durga's a devotee, so you could say that the Brahmin was initiated by Durga in a sense. He was given a mantra, so that's a type of initiation. The connection between Gopakumar and his spiritual master who gives him the mantra is closer, really, somewhat closer. But this is one of the main themes that is there, underlying the whole story, that we should always chant the mantras which are given by the spiritual master, and understand that this is like the foundation of our advancement, following the instructions of the spiritual master and chanting the holy names as given by the spiritual master. And even if it's done, well, initially the Brahman has been doing it, what to speak of without knowledge, he's been doing it even without faith in the mantra. He didn't even know it was the mantra, to have faith in the mantra, until after a little while he got the idea. But the thing is that these practices, this practice of chanting the holy names given by the spiritual master and the mantras given by the spiritual master, is so powerful and so important on that most basic foundational level in our spiritual lives, that as long as we do these things without offenses, then even if we're lacking in knowledge, even if we're not completely faithful, but a great result, some result will be there, and even a great result can be there. You know, the same point is made by Lord Chaitanya when he instructs Sanatan Goswami about the 64 different processes or aspects of devotional service, different devotional activities. He gives five at the end, the last five, as being particularly important. Sadhu Sangha Nama Kirtan Bhagavat Shravan Maturavas Srimurtir Shradaya Sevan. That we should associate with the devotees, chant the holy names, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, reside in Mathura, and worship the deity with faith. But Lord Chaitanya says that if you perform even one of these, even without faith, but as long as you do it without offenses, then it can bring you to the level of bhava. And even if it doesn't bring you to the level of bhava, we can appreciate that it's going to have some far-reaching effects on you. So this point is here now with the Brahman, and it's going to come out in the story of Gopikumar very, very vividly. So it's something we should always bear in mind. So Gopikumar is now evaluating the Brahman. And he can see that he is very advanced. He's actually very advanced even. He needs to do more Sankirtan. This is what Gopikumar thought. He needs to do, instead of just chanting mantras, he should chant the holy names. Yeah. So his intention is to instruct him in chanting the holy names. But then he thinks the best way to direct this person is going to be to tell him my own story. First of all, he's just going to tell him to chant the holy names. But then he thinks, no, I must tell him my own story. So even though there's a saying, swa prashamsa dhruvo mrityu, self-praise is as good as death. That's a good one, isn't it? Self-praise is as good as death. And Gopikumar, as such a great transcendental personality, was well aware of things like that. But still, he understood that whatever doubts the Brahman has left, they won't be properly dispelled unless I tell him my story, because his story is so similar. So therefore he didn't He doesn't hesitate to make this decision. Yes, I will tell you my story. So then he starts telling his story. Now, an interesting point is that he's going to tell his own story, and it involves, for example, going to heavenly planets, even the planet of Lord Brahma, staying there for a long time. And normally if human beings, or at least we can say that on these higher planets, time passes differently from how it passes here. So the cowherd boy, Gopikumar, has already spent long time as a cowherd boy, but he's still a cowherd boy. Now, how this has happened, well, we're going to hear shortly. But he's still a young boy, despite having been a young boy an awfully long time. So he tells a story that before he became fortunate like that, he was a cowherd boy at Govardhan Hill. And with his friends, they would herd the cows here and there, all over Vraj Mandala, actually. But from time to time, they would meet one great Brahmin devotee with a golden-colored body, very beautiful, and incredible characteristics. Sometimes he would laugh, sometimes he would dance, sometimes he'd roll on the ground and muddy the hoof prints of the cows with his tears. And he was always chanting the names of Krishna. This amazing person. So the boys, they would see this devotee regularly. And he would treat them very nicely. Actually, he would come to them and offer his obeisances to them and embrace them and kiss them. And Gopikumar would bring him milk products. Then, after a while, the great devotee told Gopikumar that if you want to fulfill all your desires, if you want to receive the mercy of the Lord of the universe, then go and bathe at Keshigat and come back, and I will give you something through which you will achieve these two things: fulfill all your desires and receive the mercy of the Lord of the universe. Now, he's about to give him the same mantra, but we can see already he's instructing him a little bit more than Kamakya Devi instructed the Brahmin. So Gopikumar went and bathed at Keshigat and came back and was given the Madan Gopal mantra. But his spiritual master was about to explain more about it, how to chant it, for example, what the object of chanting it was. He didn't even explain these things. Suddenly, he became overwhelmed by ecstasy. And Brihad Bhagavatamrita says, he began sobbing like a woman who has just lost her lover. He just broke down, crying and crying. Then he composed himself, but Gopikumar felt frightened. He didn't want to ask him anything. And then he disappeared. So, Gopikumar knows these two things. He knows this is a mantra through which I can fulfill all my desires and get the mercy of the Lord of the universe, but he doesn't know, how do I chant it? out aloud, silently, at certain times, all the time? He doesn't know what to do about it. So, out of curiosity, he just starts chanting it in different ways.